Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is mayoral candidate Frank Commisso Jr. And Frank is going to talk about the press conference he had a few days ago, and he's going to talk about the issue of 485A. So, Frank, how are you?
Good, Cynthia. Thank you for inviting me to be a guest on your show today. And how are you?
I'm doing well. So I've been reading stuff, and I think 485A is a pretty complex issue. So can you tell everybody in ways that they can understand and grasp and say, oh, that's good, or that's okay. Explain what 485A is, so that people can have a better understanding of the mayor's race going as it's going on so far?
Sure. 485A is a program that had replaced the Empire Zone program, 485E. And 485A, what it effectively does is it is a program that was implemented by the state legislature, local legislative bodies, in this case the Albany Common Council, opted into the program. And what it effectively does is it allows the city then to, in the case of a mixed-use redevelopment, where there is usually a commercial space on the bottom floor where you could buy products, goods, services, what have you, but a commercial office space on the bottom level, and then usually you would have then residential units above that commercial space, and what they would then have is they would qualify for a rather sizable, significant tax exemption. In the case of Albany, and an example cited by the Albany Business Review, there was a 90% discount on the local property tax liability. So for that individual, they would have otherwise faced a $10,000 property tax liability, and instead they were only presented with a $1,000 tax liability. So for a listener thinking of what this means, is it means about a 90% reduction in someone's tax bill. So it's a rather significant program, but it's a program that the state legislature had put forth with the intent of stimulating redevelopment in some cities that really need it, right? Buffalo, Rochester, Syracuse, Utica, Yonkers, Albany, these uptown struggling municipalities that have seen significant divestment over the past several decades, perhaps even the past half century, they've seen some significant divestment and this is a program that can address that, but that program needs to have integrity. It needs to be administered appropriately, and it needs folks that are overseeing the program. And that's not really what happened here in Albany. And that's what we're now presented with is a case where it appears we have illegal tax exemptions in the city of Albany. And forgive me for using the word illegal. There's other folks that would prefer to use much more sanitized language of inappropriate, but it seems that there are tax exemptions in place that are not in compliance with the law. And that's a problem, and that's something that we talked about earlier this week on Wednesday.
Now, how many buildings besides the one on Chapel Street, how widespread is this particular issue?
Well, you know, as it relates to collecting data, facts here, something we had called for on Wednesday when we had a media event with, as it relates to this, is that we have the state controller come in and really look at all the information, look at all the data. There's been some different numbers floating around over the past several days as this has become a public issue. And again, you know, rather than speaking on data that may have been out there over the past several days, you know, we've made a call for the state comptroller's office, which has experienced auditors that could come in and take a look at tax exemptions in the city of Albany and specifically the administration of the 485 program, and really ask the real questions here of why has the revenue collectors of the city since the implementation of this program in Albany, and those two revenue collectors for the city of Albany have been Kathy Sheehan, 2010, 11, 12, and 13, and now her neighbor, Darius Shannon Farr, in 2014, 15, 16, and 17, why have they not provided any oversight of clearly exemptions that they knew about, they very clearly knew about, because there is numerous minutes on the Albany IDA website, of which both Kathy Sheehan, again, and her neighbor, Darius Shannon Farr, sat on the City of Albany IDA from 2010 through 17. There's been numerous discussions and deliberations right there for anyone to see on the IDA website if they look at the minutes of the 485 program. So they knew the criteria for being in the program. And shame on them for just so promptly throwing the city assessor alone under the bus and leaving him alone out there and specifically only talking about the granting of this exemption, just the granting, and not looking at the issue of the oversight of the top elected officials in the city of Albany charged with collecting revenue on behalf of the city that clearly had the capacity to know better, pursuant to exactly what I just talked about on the IDA website. You know, shame on them for taking someone like Keith McDonald and throwing him under the bus alone. You know, Keith is, you know, he's somebody who's willing to stand out there, but should he be taking all the bullets on his own? No. And that's not what good leaders do, and that's not what I would do as mayor of the city of Albany. I would more likely be the one to stand with the departments in bad times, stand with the commissioners in bad times, and when good things happen, let some of that credit trickle downhill towards the staff and the departments. Unfortunately, Kathy Sheehan operates in the exact opposite way, right? Kathy Sheehan leaves the departments out there on their own when something goes wrong and claims that they are these independent rogue entities. And when things go right, of course, there's press conferences and ribbon cuttings and, you know, so it's frustrating for folks. And I think we are looking at changing that here very promptly in January 2018.
So basically we're talking about real estate, whether it be on Chapel Street or throughout the city. So for the average person who should be aware of this particular issue, what would you tell them? What would you say to them? You know, this is a problem, and this is how we're going to fix it. You know, I hate to sound redundant, but to the average person, this is very complex, and it has to be brought down into terms that they could say, yes, now I get it. So can you give them a statement where they can say, yes, I get it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple things we would do different going forward, and they're really significant items. Of course, City of Albany has $8 billion, with a B, billion dollars of tax-exempt property, over $8 billion of tax-exempt property. And what we would do is in January of 2018, we would commence a review of all that, every dollar of that tax-exempt and tax exemptions in the City of Albany, tax abatements. We would look at all those and make sure that we have integrity in our tax rolls. That would be a rather labor-intensive effort, but it's one that is very much worth it to undertake in 2018. And then we would establish annual reviews of less labor-intensive nature thereafter, 2019 going forward. That's a major change from Mayor Sheehan and her running mate and neighbor, Darius Shanifar, right? Their position is that they have no role in overseeing revenue collection for the City of Albany. Pretty scary, but now I guess we figured out how we got to 64% tax-exempt property in the city. Well, we've had people for 7 years that haven't been watching the register. So that's one thing we would change moving forward. The next item, of course, is that we would – of course, I would impose a voluntary self-imposed ban on myself as mayor from accepting campaign contributions from developers that are receiving either tax abatements in the City of Albany or tax exemptions in the City of Albany. That is a stark contrast to Kathy Sheehan. Of course, Kathy Sheehan received a very significant, at least $10,000 from the developer of 17 Chapel. That's the Rosenblum Companies, who have many business interests in the City of Albany. And Kathy Sheehan, of course, pleads ignorance that she did not know about this. And, you know, we've covered that already. That's just not incredible.
Mm-hmm.
She, of course, she knew about this. And she received $10,000 to that effect. And she owes the voters in the City of Albany and residents broadly an apology for having owners of $500,000 and $750,000 condos in downtown Albany paying less taxes than seniors on fixed incomes in very humble ranches throughout the rest of the city. Not right, not fair, mm-hmm. And Kathy Sheehan knows that. So the final thing we would do is we would require that when economic development officials for the City of Albany communicate about business in the City of Albany with the assessor, that it is done in writing, that these are not verbal communications by phone or by conversation, that those communications with the assessor's office would always be in writing so that when there was later oversight, be it from the state controller or whatever other entity, it could be from the city auditor, it could be from anybody else that wants to review these items, then of course we would have something that is foilable and there could be a more robust answer as to how something occurred that seems to be so senseless in this case as misappropriately granting and then having in place for years tax exemptions. So those are major differences. And then, you know, there's a whole host of other major differences between what we would bring forth in the incumbent. And luckily, folks seem to be message seems to be resonating. We have a great deal of momentum. We've been endorsed recently by the Independence Party. We just launched, just received our lawn signs and put those out over the past several days. We're out walking door to door every day, talking to voters, and we're in a great position here. And I think it's because folks are realizing that you really have an incumbent administration, the Sheehan administration, that just been a failure on many levels. And they provide rhetoric of trying to help working class people and, you know, taxpayers that are struggling, young folks, seniors on fixed incomes, folks in poverty in our city. And but their actions are exactly the exact difference. They're more interested in providing help and providing assistance for developers, owners of luxury condominiums, and the folks who live in those luxury condominiums. And it's become increasingly clear. And in that effect, you know, we still have 6 months here with this administration, but you know, I think there's a lot of folks that are turning the page, saying that they, you know, it's time to move forward here and take a different course forward.
Okay, you had just mentioned a little while ago that a state auditor is coming in to look at the books. What about the auditor we have in the city of Albany? Wouldn't that be Leaf's job?
Well, a couple things. I do not believe at this time that the state controller has announced coming in. We called for the state controller to conduct an audit and initiate an audit of City of Albany's tax exemption, specifically as it relates to the appropriateness of 485A exemptions. But that said, you know, yeah, city auditor could take a look at this here. I know city auditor is moving on to a new position here in a few days as well. So we'll have a vacancy there over the next several months with city auditor. But, you know, truth be told, we haven't really put the investment into that position. Over the past several years, I say we as a city, we haven't really built up a robust audit function there from a budget perspective and providing the resources needed. So, you know, again, I think the state controller would be the appropriate entity. I have some familiarity with that office because I've worked there as an auditor for 7 years. They have a great group of professionals there that really understand auditing and put together professional, high-quality audits that answer many questions of public concern, and I think they could do the same in this instance. My understanding is that they may have conducted very similar audits in the past of different municipalities in New York State, so they may have a level of experience there and familiarity with the law as well if they have auditors who have worked on those types of assignments in the past. So, you know, I think it's, you know, would be something that would make a great deal of sense for them to come in, but again, they have to. You know, on their end of it, they have a whole bunch of competing interests across New York State, and they have to look at where they allocate their resources as well, and they have an audit plan that they try to stick to. So, you know, I get that as well. So, you know, they have to take a whole look at this, but we'd like the state controller to come in if possible here, and hopefully on a shorter time frame than if possible. But again, I understand they have a workflow there as well, just like folks everywhere have.
Now, you said that you concentrate each evening on going door to door. As you speak to the people in the city of Albany, has this tax issue come up? How well aware are people of this whole issue, do you believe?
Well, I think they're becoming increasingly aware. It's funny, this morning I was just out and I just talked to a group of gentlemen that were out having a coffee, and now they brought this up because they see it's out in the media this week. And, you know, I think the Business Review really jumped out the gate strong on this a week ago. And but there's folks increasingly aware of this over the past several days as other media outlets have discussed it, and it's been discussed on social media. And here I am doing an interview with you that will be available later today. So the word is getting out about this. But largely, I mean, we find that Yeah, there's folks angry about this, and there's folks realizing, you know, there's a major difference between my campaign and the campaign of the incumbent. The campaign of the incumbent is based off of many wealthy people, many of them not from Albany, that don't pay taxes in the city of Albany. And that's just reality. That's Kathy Sheehan's base, wealthy people that don't pay taxes. We have a much more middle-income coalition, people that are struggling here in Albany, younger folks that have student debt, student loans, and pay property taxes. We have folks that are, seniors on fixed incomes. We have workers for the city that haven't received any cost of living adjustments in years. We have folks that are really struggling and grinding it out. And you know what? I'm proud of that coalition. I'm proud of the people we have put together here. It's a diverse coalition of people that really understand, the struggle in the city of Albany. And again, Kathy Sheehan's supporters are just wealthy folks that, don't pay taxes in the city of Albany. It's another example of it. So there's a major difference, and I think folks are beginning to perceive that difference.
Okay, let's talk for a minute about luxury housing. I know that by the Albany Med, the luxury housing that went up there, I think for a really small apartment, it's like $1,500 a month. If there's a lot of luxury housing that's built in the city of Albany, where are the jobs to sustain that they can pay this rent?
Well, more broadly, let me just answer that question a little more broadly than even what you suggested. I mean, you know, Albany has had luxury housing put in the city of Albany over the past several years. Those have been developed with tax abatements and tax exemptions, apparently tax exemptions, illegal tax exemptions, but tax abatements as well received from the IDA, mortgage recording tax abatements, sales tax abatements. In fact, our industrial development agency, or IDA, much more has been not an IDA, but a luxury housing development stimulus. And that's gone on in Albany over the past several years. What we need to be doing is we need to be dramatically changing our entire economic development structure here in the city of Albany, right? We could need to be stimulating creative reuses and rehabilitations of vacant abandoned buildings. And I'll be the first to acknowledge that there are many hundreds of buildings in the city of Albany that will ultimately likely require demolition if a house has not had any care for many years, over a decade. There could be huge issues in there that are just too costly, and that that project could be totally upside down, and we get that. But there are many other housing units in the city of Albany that could be rehabilitated if we had incentives that met the needs of existing Albany taxpayers. And what do I mean by that? Well, these projects, like we talk about here, Park South, or Aspen Heights up at 1475 Washington Avenue, or these units in downtown Albany that were stimulated with illegal tax exemptions. These structures really, they are not providing what we need here in Albany, which is tax-paying units. And I think if we start to put our focus here and our resources behind the rehabilitation of currently vacant abandoned buildings, we could start to create more affordable housing in the city of Albany. Quality affordable housing, I should say, in the city of Albany. We can create local income and local wealth, right? We could have young men and women that can work with their hands and have a trade that they possess and a skill that they possess to go fix these houses up. And that's where we need to be. I think folks are tired of, looking at these projects come up. And, look, when I talked earlier with you about having the state controller come and look at tax exemptions, it's not just the downtown ones at 17 Chapel, and my hat is off to the Business Review for doing some real good investigative work there. There needs to be more of that in this area, because there's not enough of it. It's really not done at all, this role of investigative journalism. You have too many reporters that are just willing to repeat the official line out of these city halls. Look at 1475 Washington Avenue. There's a building that has a $27.5 million mortgage that's a year old. And a $27.5 million mortgage is assessed for $13 million. I mean, there's more than just one hustle going on in this town. And folks know that. And that's why now you see some of these wealthier interests from out of town starting to rally around the mayor as we start really building up a coalition of folks here that are going to be voting for me on September 12th. They're starting to rally around the mayor now, and they're going to get nasty over the next several weeks. But, look, we know what's coming, and we are in a great position here going forward. And we know what we want to do with economic development in the city of Albany, which is to actually turn that structure back over to working class people to make some good decisions for the city of Albany and the city of Albany's budget.
A very important issue. A few days ago, I interviewed Darius Chanenfaw, and I asked him point blank, if he won and you won, would you guys have any trouble getting along and working constructively? And he let me know point blank that that's not the case, that he would have difficulty working with you if he's reelected and you're elected. Now, if that's the case, and he remains the treasurer, and you're the mayor, and do you feel he's going to block you? Do you think that Albany will become a gridlock as far as, you know, the betterment of the city is concerned?
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, these elections, the folks get very passionate about them, but, you know, there's a primary on September 12th, and there'll be a general election in November. But at the end of all that, there's going to be four citywide elected officials. There's going to be 15 members of the Common Council. We even have three judgeships up this year. So you have 22 positions up. And at the end of that, everybody has responsibility to sit down with each other and, you know, make amends and say, look, you know, now we're all elected, whoever that may be. And you work with those people to the best of your ability, be that Common Council members or treasurer or mayor, or, you know, you have the judgeships as well. You all work together and put your best foot forward. And you know, as mayor, I'll work with whoever happens to be treasurer, Common Council president, council members, city auditor. I mean, I'm going to work with all those people to the best of my ability. And, you know, my expectation is that folks are going to, attempt over the next several weeks and months to pursue as many votes as they can get on September 12th. But thereafter, again, I mean, you have a responsibility that's laid out in the charter, and people need to fulfill those responsibilities. I'll say that in the interim here, I mean, it's a bit, it's just been strange that Mr. Chanenfaw is, he's just a very strong devotee of the mayor. And he's taken on this role of trying to defend that administration every turn. And, you know, it's just been, you know, a bizarre episode with this combination of Mayor Sheehan and Mr. Chanenfaw in office together. I mean, to move together, I mean, into the same street, and you really have to wonder what level of oversight and what level of checks and balances are really going on as it relates to the city's finances. But that being said, again, I mean, come this fall, after these elections are concluded, we all have a responsibility to work together, and that's my intention, whoever is the treasurer, whoever is in these other positions as well.
You know, you said people have a responsibility, and I agree with you, but that might not be the mindset of people, you know, that you're talking about. So I can tell you, you still have time to field a candidate to run as treasurer. That's all I'm going to say about it. So, you know, you've mentioned a lot in this interview, and I thank you for it. And as the primary unfolds, I'm sure there's going to be a lot of other times where we can speak. So, of course, I invite you back on Focus on Albany anytime you want to come on. You've been listening to Frank Commisso Jr. I'm Cynthia Pula. This is Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes, give a comment, hashtag Focus on Albany. And anybody in the Albany area and in the city can listen to WCAA 107.3 on your radio. Thanks, Frank. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.